an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Hello, everyone. I am indeed Filippo Voltaggio, and I am a little bit out of, well, we're not in the studio today, and I'm out on, how do you say, I'm out of the studio. So everything's a little different, and we're still happy to be putting on a show and getting it all together here as we speak. And we're so excited about our guest. She's a parliamentarian, and one would wonder, what is a parliamentarian doing on a show like Life Changes with Filippo? Well, you will soon see, because she is not your ordinary parliamentarian. She is a paradigm buster, and she is Suzanne Leahy, and I can't wait to bring her on to the show. And then you'll know why she's on the show. You know, it's interesting because here I am, and I'm away from the studio, and I was wondering, oh, I should have been in the studio, and Susan Leahy was supposed to come into the studio today, and we were supposed to videotape, and then now I'm not there, so we can't. And so I was getting down on myself, and I do this a lot. I'm not really proud of it, and I don't really like it. It's something that I just got used to. And the thing would be that if it was something that I was used to and I liked, then one would say, okay, then, you know, hey, I'm used to it and I like it, great. If it was something that I got used to and I didn't like, well, then would say, someone would say, you know, well, you might want to change that. But if it's something that I got used to and it's something that's really very wrong, then it sounds to me, as I'm speaking it, that it's one of the things that needs to change and fast, because it's not only something that is very wrong, it's counterproductive, and it's not only not serving me, but obviously being counterproductive, it's making matters worse, when in actuality, matters might be actually perfect. Like today might have been a really horrible day for Susan to come meet us in the studio, but she had agreed to it, and she might have gone through great lengths to make it happen. And though I haven't spoken to her, she might have said, oh God, thank you. I'm glad I'm not coming in the studio because this, and this happened. But here I was putting myself down for having attended to something else, which came up kind of emergency, but it's a good thing. And in any event, so an analogy that brings the point home, because I don't know the result of today, except that I do know and I do trust that it's going to be not only fine, but probably even better than I had planned it. But let me give you an analogy. I think you might know that maybe some people have seen on Facebook or someplace else that a while back, Life Changes, the team and a few handful of people went to the Integratron, which is out in the desert in the middle of nowhere. And the Integratron is this really cool place, and we can talk about it sometime, and maybe a lot of us can all go there together. Again, it's a wonderful place. And it was a great little outing. But way out there, there's no food. And way out there, there's no water. And we have to bring it all ourselves. Well, Dorothy Donahue, one of our producers, and myself had gone and bought all the food to bring. And we shared with everybody else that we were bringing the food. And everybody, as far as I knew, was counting on us to bring the food. So about 3/4 of the way on our 3-hour trip to the Integratron, I remembered that the refrigerator that I had looked in 3 times for something and wasn't thinking, and closed the refrigerator 3 times, had all the food in it that I had packed for the Integratron and all the food that I had promised to bring to everybody. And for an hour and a half, I was kicking myself and berating myself and beating myself up, saying, I can't believe I forgot the food. I can't believe I forgot the food. And I couldn't go back because in the van that I was driving were the people that were going to get the keys to go in and all that stuff. So everybody would have had to have waited at least 3 more hours to go an hour and a half back and an hour and a half forward. And I thought, okay, well, maybe I should stop and get something. And all the way, Dorothy was also in the van, and she kept saying, Filippo, it's all right. Better yet, it's better than all right. Because I pride myself in, well, pride, I don't know if that's a great word, but I'm learning to be more and more connected. I'm trying to connect more and more. I'm being told to do more meditation so that I could be more in tune to what's really needed and what's going on. Well, by the time I got to the Integratron, had I been able to physically beat myself up the way I was doing it in my head, I would have been black and blue and probably not recognizable if I had been able to do on the exterior what I was doing to myself on the interior, that this whole group of people was relying on me to bring the food. Well, once we got there, I told everybody that I had done wrong, mea culpa, my culpa, I'm beating my hand against my chest, I was wrong, I was bad. And then we went off on one of the adventures. And by the time we came back, actually we were all in different cars at that point, by the time we came back, at the Integratron, on this table, was so much food. Everybody had brought a little something to share. Talk about the 6 loaves or 7 loaves and 2 fishes or whatever it was. Everybody had brought a little something to share. And there was so much food. And unfortunately, there wasn't a refrigerator to put the food in. So whatever didn't get eaten, and there was a lot of it, got wasted, got thrown away that very night. And they didn't go out and buy that food when they found out that I had forgotten it. They had just brought a little something. Each person brought a little something to share. And I thought, wow, if I had brought any of that food, it all would have gone to waste because pretty much everybody had eaten by the time we got back to even bring out our food. And like I said, so much food went to waste. And I thought, was I connected that whole time that I actually looked in the refrigerator 3 times and didn't even think of bringing the food that I had actually prepared with so much love and all that? And there were several people in the car, in the van, and they all said to me, well, this is great because when we get back to your place, we'll all have something to eat when we get back. And boy, did we. And we had food to spare, and everybody took some home, and we had it for days afterwards. But it was there. It wasn't wasted, and we got to enjoy it. It would have gotten wasted. So maybe I was connected when I opened that refrigerator and, quote-unquote, forgot the food. Or maybe I wasn't. But the point of berating myself and putting myself down and telling myself how bad and wrong and forgetful I was for not having brought the food not only didn't serve, because it just made me feel worse and I was not fun to be with for the rest of the drive, but it also was wrong. I mean, it just was wrong. And so what if I would have just suspended my disbelief as to whether or not I was supposed to forget the food and maybe make a mental note next time, don't forget, or something, and allow it to be what it was. And then maybe there would have been food or there wouldn't have been food. We weren't going to die. It was just one night. And sometimes things happen for a reason. And maybe seeing everybody there with all this beautiful food, sharing, was so much more special than even the joy that I had in making the food and being able to share what I had made. Because we got to taste a little bit of everything that everybody had made. It was actually a really, really special time. But I wasn't able to see it that way for many hours, and that doesn't serve. So, all that to say is let's give ourselves some slack, and let's suspend our disbelief, and let's see if maybe there are reasons for certain things happening beyond either our control, or that we actually have control from another level to purposely make me forget the food, for example, three times in a row once when I looked in the refrigerator. So with that, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Filippo Voltaggio on Life Changes with Filippo this evening on the BBS Radio Network, where we're here every Monday night at 7 p.m. And to learn more about us, you can go to lifechanges.ws. And, of course, you can also find us on YouTube and on the web, Facebook and Twitter and all these places, actually. And there are going to be more places really soon. So I am excited now to be introducing our guest who, after she got her master's in applied behavioral science with emphasis in coaching and consulting, she became a very sought-after speaker and presenter and has been speaking professionally at corporations, nonprofit organizations, and universities for over a decade. And as a communication specialist, Susan Leahy, our guest tonight, her work revolves around turning groups into teams through running better meetings, increasing communication to drive results. So she speaks and she consults and she leads. And she's also a member of the National Speakers Association, the NSA, and the National Association of Parliamentarians, NAP. Actually, I could go on and on about Susan. One other thing that I want to say is that she, in addition to being a professional speaker and a presenter, Susan is also a co-creator and co-founder of Fastlane Learning, an audio training company that supports the learning needs of the busy professionals. So she's a one-stop shop in this area. She's also got a series of video out called Driving the Language of Parliamentary Procedure. You might wonder why Susan will be on a show like Life Changes with Filippo, but as I introduce her, you'll know exactly. Susan, are you with us yet?
I'm here, Filippo. How are you?
I'm great. It's a pleasure to introduce you to the show.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Well, Mark Lejeur insisted, and he didn't have to insist too much once we got to know you via the internet. And now I was kicking myself for not getting to get to meet you in person, which led to my whole monologue. But I'm kicking myself no more because there are...
There it is. There's a higher purpose. We get to meet later on under even better circumstances. Maybe,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So our audience is used to people coming on and talking about change and talking about how they change their lives and how they're changing other people's lives. And I think it's really exciting to have a parliamentarian on because you're a paradigm buster. You just are, because, you know, parliamentarians are supposed to be these older gentlemen that sit at the end of the table that always call the rule to order at meetings and say, no, you can't do that, sit down and be quiet, you're out of order, and this kind of thing. Instead, you're a beautiful young lady, you got a ton of personality, it just seems like you shouldn't be here, and then when we get to know you, this is the most perfect place for you. Tell us why.
And it's so funny. Your description is absolutely right because I know that when people walk into any of my trainings, they're walking in going, oh, my gosh, we got to learn about parliamentary procedure. Part of them wants to be there, but part of them is scared to death they're going to be bored for the hour and a half that we're together. But, boy, when they walk in the room and we really start talking about what this tool can actually do for their boards, it really turns the energy different, and we have a great time. So I'm having fun busting through the paradigms. Parliamentary procedure doesn't have to be boring.
Well, excellent. And you know, actually, I threw away some of the business skills that I had when I left IBM, and then I joined this side of the team where we were about new age and spirituality and changing things in a different way, higher dimensional, blah blah blah. And now I'm starting to realize, wait a minute, I threw the baby away with the bathwater.
There you go. And it's interesting because I do think that there is certainly this higher level of thought and consciousness that that's not just existing but really elevating around us. And one of the things I think that is so important to remember is that change agents, wherever you are in the world, however that's manifesting for you, you're probably going to find yourself sitting in a meeting sometime in your life. So
Right. Being
able to run a great meeting where you can get stuff done is really how you affect greater change in your organization, in your world, and the planet.
And you know, it's interesting because in this field of work where people are trying to change paradigms and say, we don't want to do things the way the other generation did, the older generation. We don't want to run things like a corporation per se. Again, we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We're still coming together to have a discussion. We need to have it in the most civilized way possible.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Filippo, I got to tell you, one of my philosophies is that there really is nothing more exciting than being able to take the voices of the majority and the voices of the minority and sit them around the same table, and they can have a collaborative discussion where people can actually innovate and create and walk out feeling heard and feeling like they actually contributed to change. And unfortunately, with the paradigm that a lot of us are living in, that collaboration doesn't happen, and we really get stuck into the win, lose, right, wrong, and whoever has the loudest voice wins. And so we really need to step up and elevate how we run our meetings so that we can get things done.
You know, Susan, tell us a little bit about Robert's Rules of Order, and I will say this, that I know of them because I participate on many boards and in many meetings, and I've always seen them, well, I'm not going to say always, but usually used against most of the people in the meeting.
Yep. And I'm going to just say that's one of the most common errors that individuals make, is that they use Robert's Rules of Order, as a manipulative technique. Mm. And they think, ooh, if I understand the rules more than somebody else, I can use them against the people in the room. But really what that ended up doing is creating fractions in your team, and you're going to actually get less work done. And so really when I go in and I work within organizations, it's about teaching everybody what I call the basics of this language, because it really is a new language. And so it's teaching everybody the basics of Robert's Rules of Order, because most boards only use the basics. And I don't know if you've ever seen the book Robert's Rules of Order, but it is probably as thick as the Bible and printed on very similar pages with all those passages. But truly, when you read the book, a lot of people just get more confused. So I walk in, I teach people the basics, and really teach them why we're using it. And it's to transition your group from just being a group of people who are arguing against each other to really a team of people who are working for and collaborating with each other.
So it's a set of rules, and you don't just teach the rules, but you teach the intent behind them, which is what you just said, is to help people come together.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I really think it's important that when you think about a meeting, it's not just about the process in which how we run the meeting. We have to remember, and when I go and I do my trainings, one of the things I teach my groups is that meetings are about the process, and they're also about the people, and that the process is really there to support the people. And sometimes we use the process against people, and that's when we start wasting our time.
Hmm. Oh, you've just touched on a hot button there, and that's when we start wasting our time. So a lot of people think meetings are a waste of time, period.
Because a lot of meetings are a waste of time, right? We've all been in them, right?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm starting to see, as I, from this new perspective, like when I was at IBM, not to disparage, I'm sure this happens in every corporation, and I'm sure of it actually, because I've had friends in other corporations, and we would sit around and have a meeting because we were supposed to. It was Monday or it was Friday, and we were supposed to have it. It was this time, and there sometimes wasn't anything to say, so we'd make stuff up, and then, like you were saying, we'd use the rules to just kind of get around, okay, let's take some minutes, okay, we did this, now we just wasted an hour or two of our lives going through a formality and not getting anywhere.
And every single person that's listening to this right now is probably shaking their head yes, because they've been in a meeting just like that. And one of the important philosophies when I go in and I work with my groups is I always ask people this question. I always say, okay, finish this equation for me, okay? So if you'll do this with me, Filippo, time equals what?
Money.
I mean, and that really is what corporate America wants us to believe. That's kind of the paradigm that's been put in everybody's head. But we're not sitting in that meeting going, gosh, I'm wasting money. The reason we're frustrated is because we're wasting something that's so much more valuable. Time is not money. Time is life.
Mm.
And when we waste our life down to our core, we all get very agitated. We all get very frustrated because for every single one of us, life is a very precious commodity. And when that time is gone, it's gone. And so when you're walking out of the meetings and you're feeling frustrated, it's because it's connecting to a deeper part of yourself. Because human beings don't want to be here wasting any part of this precious life that we have. So I do in some ways believe that I'm helping to save people's lives by helping them run better meetings.
Well, there you go, busting paradigms again, because that paradigm has existed for a while, that time equals money. And maybe that's been inbred in us through through a corporate structure and a corporate paradigm, because it's money to them, but it's life to us.
And if you think about it, money is life to corporations, and that's not a bad thing. You know, that's kind of how corporations live. But when you really think about human beings and at our core, it is about what is the most important thing to us. It is about my life and how I choose to really be in my life while I'm on this planet. And so I always tell people you can either be a passive participant in meetings or you can be an active participant. And it doesn't matter if you're chairing the meeting or not. You should be there helping to save not only your life, but the life of the people in the meetings by helping them run effective meetings. And that really is what Robert's Rules of Order does. It is a set of rules. It is a process, an agreed-upon process that really gets us on the same page so the voices of the majority and the voices of the minority can sit in the same room and get work done together.
You know, ironically, I of course like your paradigm better, but the corporation could like this paradigm better, because if everybody really understood that and said, "Well, I'm giving up life by sitting in this room, I might as well get the most out of it," and they gave their best ideas or they really participated to the point of really moving things forward, the corporation stands to gain too.
Yeah, and they do. And I think one of the important things to understand is that a lot of meetings, especially in corporate America, don't necessarily feel like a safe environment. There's lots of politics in meetings. There's lots of personalities in meetings, and there's lots of hidden agendas in meetings. And if we don't start talking about those things that really are the undercurrent, which are running a lot of our meetings, we're not going to be as effective. We're not going to be able to make as much money as what, you know, people want to do in corporate America. And we, at the end of the day, are going to be really just kind of operating from a place of self-preservation. And when we do that, we're not able to innovate because we're too busy defending ourselves. And in my opinion, there's nothing more frustrating than just being stuck in with a group of people who are all in that defensive self-preservation mode.
Susan, has it ever happened to you where you're sitting in a meeting and it's a corporate meeting of some sort and you happen to catch somebody rolling their eyes at somebody else or somebody else writing a note, passing it and saying, oh, you know, this guy goes on forever or, you know, and, you know, making a joke or what have you? Well, that has, I used to be part of that. And recently, as I'm starting to work with companies that are what I feel are part of this paradigm shift and a shift of the ages here, as we're all focusing more on consciousness and oneness and working as a team and that kind of thing. I've seen that happen amongst the various companies that I'm working with, and I've stopped and said, no, this doesn't happen. It's no longer funny. It no longer works for me.
Well, and I think that by creating what I call that team mentality in your meetings, you become much more conscious of how your body language impacts people, how your comments impact people, how your tone of voice can impact people, and you really do become more conscious of, I am affecting the team by how I'm choosing to be in the room. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't run their meetings with a team mentality. They run it with a group mentality. And it's kind of every man for themselves or every woman for themselves. And so absolutely, you know, the rolling of the eyes. I mean, lots of stuff happens in meetings, and it's not just what people say. It really is about how people interact with one another.
And we used to have our finger games where if you tapped like this person was saying bullshit, and if you tapped like that, you know.
Which you have to admit, Filippo, is fun in the moment, right? And it's giving you some type of relief for the life that you feel like you're wasting. But at the end of the day, in the big picture, it's really not servicing or serving what it is that you're trying to accomplish. But it is fun in the moment, so we have to admit that. And we kind of have to be.
You and I would have been dangerous in a meeting together.
Until I learned to use this force for good, we would have been very dangerous.
Right, exactly. Well, now we can be a good force for good. Okay,
that's
so
right.
give us a rule as an example that people break all the time, that if they didn't break and if they really understood it, it could be used for the good in a meeting.
Yeah, well, okay, so probably one of the biggest things that we know about human beings is that human beings, you can put them in a room and they will talk. We can talk about anything. But having unfocused conversations is a big life waster. And so probably one of the biggest things that I think individuals do is that they don't make what's called the main motion. And the main motion is really that focused discussion. Mm. And so what happens a lot of times in meetings is you'll sit down and you'll talk and I'll talk and somebody else will talk and then someone will have an idea and then they'll say something and then all of a sudden a little synergy starts because people are all focusing on something finally. But then all of a sudden we realize a decision needs to be made. So someone says something, well, should we make a motion? And probably one of the biggest mistakes is that we start our conversation without focus. And so we need to put the business on the table before we let anyone start talking. Because human beings, we like to talk. So in Robert's Rules of Order, it's called a main motion. And so the main motion is what creates total focus for everyone. That one business item, what are we going to focus on right now?
You know, I like that because thankfully, the meetings I participate in now are with people that I like and maybe even love, a lot of them, you know, and it's fun to be with them and all that. But there are times when, you know, I might rather be with a close friend, or I might want to be with my family, or I don't have the time for this particular group right now. So if I can go into a meeting and we can say, this is the focus, we can all talk around that focus, get something done. Otherwise, let's not call it a meeting. Let's call it a party, and I could choose to come
if
I want.
That's right. And I want to know what I'm walking into because it's different when we're all just hanging out. But when we are trying to conduct business, there has to be some order in which we agree on conducting that business because business becomes emotional. Because a lot of times with business, you are dealing with money or you're dealing with making some decisions that are going to have impact on people. And so emotions come into play. And so having that agreed upon set of rules in which this is how we're going to handle our business will help manage the emotional side of meetings as well as handle the practical side of meetings. So again, it's that people and process that we were talking about earlier.
Susan, what I really like about having you on the show, or one of the things I really like about having you on the show, is that we're showing that being a change agent, being within a mindset of wanting to see something different or a paradigm buster or participating in a shift of some sort into consciousness isn't necessarily about woo-woo. It's not necessarily... It doesn't mean to not have structure. It doesn't mean to not go by rules. It means that we can use them differently,
yes.
And we can use them for the good.
Yes.
And that we actually aren't saying, let's get rid of the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say this because this still exists, is that when you use words like new age and, you know, shifting our paradigms, I think people kind of go into a space of like, hey, we're like, and there's like a disconnect disconnect for those people who are not ready to go there because they don't believe there's structure that is there. And New Age is structure. It is about accomplishing. It's about being a change agent. And many of the people listening to your show sit on boards and are a part of organizations in their city or in their state or in, you know, their country. So it is about how do I affect change in the world that I'm living in? And the world that we live in runs meetings. You know, so I think it's important for us to understand how to think about meetings differently. And I don't, I mean, this is a personal story, but I'll share it. It's my mother actually passed away a few years ago. And I remember when she died and I was standing there, my paradigm about time equals life really crystallized for me because my mother was dynamic and energetic and she was just everything. And when her time was up, that was it. But the one thing that was really, for me, most impactful for my mom, because she actually sat on the city government, and we took parliamentary procedure training classes together. So this is where my start with parliamentary procedure started, was with my mom, is that she, no matter what room she was sitting in, she was an active part of helping that room go somewhere productive. And so it is about, am I being constructive or am I being destructive? And the reality is a lot of people use Robert's Rules of Order to be destructive. And that's the paradigm we really need to shift. We're frustrated because people aren't doing it right, or they need to do it different, or they're not listening to me. And it's really about stepping outside of just me and really getting into that team mentality.
Well, we're going to be talking more about that in just a moment when we come back, and I like that, stepping into that team mentality, because what that really is oneness, and
yeah,
that's where so much magic happens and how it happens. So
yeah,
we'll talk about that in just a moment. I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Life Changes with Filippo, and I am Filippo Voltaggio, having a wonderful discussion with Susan Leahy, who is a parliamentarian. And she's shedding new lights on Robert's Rules of Order. As a matter of fact, she's doing it on the web through a website called robertsrulesmadesimple.com. That's Roberts with an S, rules with an S, madesimple.com. As a matter of fact, if you go there and put in your name and address, she'll give you 5 free videos on how to run meetings more effectively. She's changing the world from her perspective, as she is obviously here to do, and we're grateful for that, and we're also grateful for her being on the show today. I want to remind you that if you want to learn more about Susan, not only do you can you go to robertsrulesmadesimple.com, but you also can learn more about her at lifechanges.ws, and also get to hear this show in the archives and share it with your friends who you think could use this kind of information. And we all know people that are having meetings all the time, and we all know people that complain about them all the time. Okay, again, you can hear us also on Facebook. We have videos and some audio up there. You can hear us on and see us on YouTube, and you can, of course, hear about us or hear from us on Twitter. And we're working on a network ourselves, which we are proudly working fast and furiously to put out there, so that we can connect all of us beautiful people together to have these kinds of conversations about change the way we want to have them. And we'll be giving you more information on that very soon. So now back to Susan. Team. We hear a lot of lip service about team, and then at the end, everybody feels like one person got everything and the rest of us got left holding the bag. So that's what team means to us, a lot of us.
Yes. Well, and it's interesting. One of the things that I say in my sessions is that saying you're a team doesn't make it so. And it's because I say it's one of the most overused words, especially in corporate America these days. Okay, this is your team. Go, your team, team, team. You're on our team. And really saying you're a team doesn't make it so, and that team is earned and that group is. We don't have to do anything on this planet to just be in a group. That's it. You don't have to say anything, you don't have to do anything, whatever, but you really have to step up and be different, elevate your level of thinking if you want to earn the right to call yourself a team. And so I have three steps. Do you want me to share those steps with you real quickly?
I would love it. Thank you.
And this I think shifts the paradigm too, because a lot of times when people think about teams, they think about team building. It's like, oh, let's do a ropes course, let's go on a conference, let's, you know, and I have three steps which I think are fairly simple, but they are still fairly complex because you have to think about doing them. Is number one, if you're wanting to create a team on a board or in an organization that you're working with, is I really ask the question. Are we going to be a group this year or are we going to be a team? Because how many times have you been asked or somebody's like wanted your permission to actually be on a team instead of telling you you're going to be on my team? You know, giving people the option and really talking about that we have a choice here, people. We're either going to be a group or we're going to be a team, and we at the beginning of this journey need to talk about it, is actually a very profound step that's missed a lot of times when you're trying to create team. And so it's asking the question, hey, are we going to be a group or are we going to be a team? And then really facilitating a discussion around what that means. That then goes into my second point, is the second thing that I do is I then ask my group, who's now said, yes, they want to be a team, and we've talked about it, is to create their own definition. Because I liked even at the beginning of this dialogue, you were saying, well, this is what team is, and then somebody else is, you know, gets all the credit, and you know that's how it feels like sometimes. And I think it's important to create a definition. And for example, in my marriage, it's my most important team. We have a team definition, and my husband and I created a definition, and that definition is we will be in a happy, healthy, loving, and fun marriage. And that's it. That is our team definition. And what's so great about that definition is it gives us something to struggle towards, work towards, agree upon, look towards, instead of fighting with each other that we're not getting our needs met. We're now really moving towards accomplishing that mission. And I really work with my clients to create their team definition.
Wow, I like that.
And then, it's been, for me, as such an important part of my marriage and keeping it happy, healthy, loving, and fun, because boy, I know when I'm not being happy, healthy, loving, or fun. So there's some personal accountability that goes along with creating a team definition. Am I being what I say I want to be? And when I'm not, I got to own it, you know? So a lot of our discussions are, you know what, I want to be in a happy, healthy, loving, and fun marriage, and right now I'm not helping us do that. So there's the personal accountability. So I know I'm talking through my steps, but do they all make sense so far?
I'm with you. I get it. Hey, if you can make a marriage work in this day and age, then you have the answers for corporations. Go on.
There it is, right? It is. And the last step, which I think is so important and it's really subtle, is just being willing to continue to ask that question when you're in meetings, when you're having dialogue, when you're in the moment with people to help elevate their level of thinking back to team, is to just ask the question, integrate this question into your dialogue, is wait a minute, are we being a group right now or are we being a team right now? Because like I said, group is actually very natural. And it's a space where lots of us live, because I don't think anybody's ever woken up and said, I want to create more group in my life, Filippo. People wake up wanting and yearning for more team. And so we need to elevate that discussion more and just ask a question. Are we falling into group patterns or are we really being a team? And that really will help shift the group's paradigm to go back to and elevate to the status in which we all want to live. We want to experience team in our life, whether it's personal or professional.
You know, this is great. And I personally, I've been writing this down. Because I fortunately, or through a lot of hard work actually and perseverance, I now get to participate in the teams that I want to participate in. However, a lot of the people and a lot of our listeners, through whatever circumstances or because they're living in working in a corporation or something like that, where they can hear this and say, yeah, but, you know, if my boss puts me in a, quote, group, and they call it a team, there's nothing I can do about it. I have to be there whether I like it or not. And something that you and I were talking about is how one person could make, like, they might be right at the onset, right? Because that's just been the corporate culture.
Yeah.
But we have to start somewhere, and that very person can help make the difference for everybody else as we change this around. So what can that person do?
Yeah, and I really think, as I'm listening to you talk, I mean, it's such a great question, because how many of us really get stuck in our circumstance and we think our circumstance defines us?
Oh,
and
I
think probably one of the biggest paradigms that we need to shift in is that I am responsible for who I am in whatever circumstance. You know, and that's a hard one to swallow, because some of the circumstances we find ourselves in aren't very comfortable. And it's easier to blame the circumstance. So I think it's being willing, especially in corporate America, no matter how hard it is to realize you're not fighting against your boss. You're actually working with your boss. And that team isn't always about being nice. Team is about being willing to talk up in a way that is not defensive and telling someone that they're broken and they're doing it wrong, but speaking up in a way that's coming from a space of concern, coming from a space of desire, coming from a space of a greater vision. And I think that's really the difference.
So little by little, a quiet voice can build. If somebody learns the rules of order, or somebody understands the concepts, or really takes in the concepts that we're talking about today, and is put into a team or into a group that somebody else is calling a team, and they know that it's not, little by little, with throwing out through, you know, hopefully compassionate ways and not confrontational ways, some of these points of order or some of these philosophies, and maybe they won't take the first time, but maybe somebody will come up and
say that again. Maybe they're not going to take the first time. Say that again so people can really hear it, because that's where people get discouraged. They try to introduce something, they get closed down, and then they become bitter. You might have to bring this message up several times before your board adopts it. And you definitely don't let yourself be deflated if they're not welcomed with open arms.
Right, and what they might find is that somebody will quietly meet them in the parking lot and say, you know, I agree with you completely. And then somebody else will call them on the phone and say, I agree with you. And in certain situations, and this actually has happened a lot, everybody will be agreeing except for the one person who's saying, you know, the thing that everybody disagrees with. And then, you know, later, years later, you find out that that person didn't agree with it either, but thought they had to do it because that was their job.
Yeah. Right? So it's the willingness to stay in the communication. And gosh, don't we get so frustrated with each other when we don't get the answer we want the first time? You know, I mean, life really isn't about having other people complete a script that you wrote. It really is allowing that canvas to be blank, and that you collectively create the painting. And so when people surprise you and give you a different answer, then just see that as, okay, we need to obviously keep communicating. Because I think you're right. There's so many misunderstandings that are really actually people agreeing, and we don't even know it, right?
I'm so glad we're having this conversation.
Me too. I mean, tell you, Filippo, I really think that it's not just about presenting Robert's Rules of Order as the solution. It is about trying to elevate your board, your group, into really wanting to be a more effective team. And when you couple these two ideas together, that's where innovation happens. That's where the magic happens. That's when you really start living that life. You know, you're not wasting time. You're really using it.
Well, we talked earlier, you and I, about how the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Mm-hmm.
But until the whole becomes a whole, it'll just be, at the very best, the sum of its parts.
Yes.
It might not even get to that.
Yeah.
But when it gets to a whole, then something happens that's very different when everybody starts working as a team, right? Besides magic, what do we call that? What's happening?
I mean, I think, and this is my definition, is I really think that's humanity. It is where people want to be. You know, we're either stuck down in our biology, which is self-preservation and defending ourselves and making ourselves right or wrong, protecting ourselves, or it is elevating out of that and really stepping into that space where we want to live. And I think that a lot of us dance in it sometimes, but if we can be in it more, that's really what makes our lives mean more, is being in and elevating our discussions, our meetings to a space where humans are connecting and humanity is happening. It's not a space where people have to defend themselves and be afraid of things. It's where we can really put it all out there, take some risks in our meetings, say some things that might not make sense, but then somebody's going to see something in the dialogue and we can put it together.
Susan, there you go again, busting paradigms. The paradigm that you're busting.
Boom, boom, boom.
We should get you a toy gun or something, and that should be your whole. Don't worry, I'm going to brand you. No, I'm just kidding. You're branded. You're doing just fine. But seriously, you're busting a paradigm here, because usually in meetings or in negotiations or. Well, all kinds of gatherings, there's a winner and a loser.
There's a loser. It's
and
the
it's
structure of our government.
Against them.
Yeah.
Right?
It's everything that we see. It's every reality show we ever watch. It's every presidential debate that we watch. I mean, Americans, God bless us, and I would never want to live in another country, but what makes us great is also what makes us weak when it comes to us being able to connect interpersonally, is because this right, wrong, win, lose mentality is so ingrained in how we communicate. You know, no wonder so many of our marriages fail. I mean, you know, it's because there's not that many effective meetings in marriages. I mean, this stuff goes so much further than just the typical boardroom. It's like when you understand Robert's Rules of Order formally, you can apply it informally anywhere in your life. And you can really do that well. The other day, my husband and I were actually taking a walk, and we have a couple of internet businesses together, the robertsrulesmadesimple.com. We created that, and then we also have the Fastlane Learning, and we're talking about business, and we're on this nice walk, and I bring something up, and he says, I move to postpone this till tomorrow morning, which is a motion, you know, in Robert's Rules of Order. And I second it, and we then continued on with our walk, and really what he was saying is that this is not a topic of discussion that we need to talk about now. It is important, but we'll talk about it at a later time, because our mission, our goal was not to talk about this business, but to really enjoy our walk together. And so it was, you know, it's funny, my husband didn't know anything about Robert's Rules of Order until we met, and God bless him, we produced my DVD together, my 1-hour instructional DVD, which is part of the Robert's Rules Made Simple training solution. And that's where for us it really changed how we communicate as a couple.
And that people can get at robertsrulesmadesimple.com?
Absolutely. That's one part of the training solution, yeah.
Okay, so what you're saying is it can also help relationships.
You know what? You want to talk about another paradigm being shifted. I absolutely, it's a great, because for me, team starts at home. You know, and we've all seen marriages that are group, two people just functioning together, but we've all seen marriages and desire, if we choose to be married, to be in that team. And the reality is that's earned. Nobody just gets it. You got to earn it.
I'm liking it. I'm liking it a lot.
Woo! We've gone out of the boardroom and into the bedroom. There we go. We need some order here.
Order in the bedroom. Order in the bedroom.
That's it. So, everybody gets their needs met here.
Well, one last thing I wanted to address with you real quickly is because I think it's so important, and we only have a couple minutes to do that, but
yes.
I think it's important that you said at one point when we talked before the show that people come to these meetings from a place of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's two-sided to me. One, that obviously we know that it's public speaking and standing in front of a public is one of the greatest fears that people have, at least in America.
Yes.
But the other side is that not knowing the rules or not knowing how to go about certain things or how to handle certain things that they come up, that's another bit. And actually, as I say that, I think one more thing. I think back to the paradigm that you're helping us bust here is it's like it's them against, it's that group against me. When you're saying that all three of those things need to just go out the window.
Go out the window. And the best way that I could probably, in the most practical way I can kind of share that is when I'm in a meeting, whether I'm chairing that meeting or I'm sitting in at the role of being a member in that meeting, I look at myself as the chair of that meeting.
Mm.
Now, I'm not there to compete with the chair. I'm there to support the chair. And so it's not about taking anything away from the person who's running the meeting, but I need to sit there and be their advocate. And I need to support and help them stay on the agenda, stay connected to what we're talking about, and be an active part of that meeting for them, because that's what helps the meeting be more effective. And so I think that a lot of times when people chair meetings, they feel like they're up there alone. And quite honestly, it's a scary place to be, especially when you're standing in front of a group, because groups will, you know, mob mentality, they will tear you apart. But teams will support you. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things when I work with chairs, is really getting their chair to understand and how to build that team so that people understand that their chair needs a little love, because that's a very vulnerable position to be in.
Wow. Boy, you've covered it all. Now you've brought, not only did you bring the bedroom into the corporate surrounding, you brought love into it too. Boy.
Oh my God, no, wait. That's really shifting those paradigms. You know?
You said all we need is love. I heard it, something like that.
That is. That's my theme song in the back of my workshop.
Right.
You know? And what's great about it is that I do think that that's why people really resonate with my workshops, is because I am teaching very practical, usable skills, but I'm reminding us of the intention behind them. It's about a process, having a process that supports the people. Because at the end of the day, it is about the people in the room that we're trying to accomplish something together. And we can't forget those two things.
Yeah, I can't wait to sit on a board with you.
That's it. I would love it.
And with people who have learned this from you. I'm so glad you're out there teaching this and sharing this and making this available, and it's available at robertsrulesmadesimple.com. That's robertsrulesmadesimple.com. There, if you put in your name and address, she'll give you 5 free videos on how to run a meeting more effectively that evidently you can use in the bedroom or something like that. I don't know.
Find all kinds of creative ways to use it. That's great, right?
Absolutely. Susan, in this last minute here before we go, is there anything else that you haven't shared that you want to make sure comes across?
Well, I think what's great is I just had a baby 10 months ago, and
I think
this tool is going to help me be an outstanding mother as well. So
you're
creating the space
for
her voice in this world. So I look forward to seeing the applications of this very dynamic team-building tool within this new role of being a new mom.
I see a whole series for partnerships and relationships, and I see a whole series for family.
There it is.
That's really great.
The next venture.
I'm excited for you. You're very young. You've got a lot of energy, and you're doing some great things and helping a lot of people. So we're happy you're out there, and we're happy you took the time away from the family and your work to be part of our show today.
Well, Filippo, thank you so much. I had a lot of fun.
Good. We'll connect soon, I promise.
Okay. All right. You have a good one. Take care.
All right, Susan.
Bye-bye.
That's Susan Leahy from Roberts. RulesMadeSimple.com. She's a parliamentarian. Can you believe that? I've never heard a parliamentarian talk like that, and I so much like what she had to say. So talk about changing yourself, change your life. Our next segment is called Just That, with our very own Dorothy Lee Donahue with Change Yourself, Change the World.
Hi. We miss you here.
I wasn't sure if you were talking to me. Yes. Thank you. It's good to be missed. I'll be back soon.
Okay.
By next show,
well,
I promise.
I'll be gone.
Yes, you will, actually. And then I'll miss you.
Yes, you will.
But we'll move things along here, and we'll be even bigger by the time you come back.
Okay.
Okay. What do you have for us today?
One of my favorite teachings is that we are truly the power in our world. And last week I explained what this means to me by sharing the story of how I was in a wheelchair for several years, crippled with excruciating pain, and how just recently I went to a new doctor and she wanted to diagnose me with the same old diagnosis that had landed me in that wheelchair back in 1999, and how I refused to accept her decision about my future, and instead chose to make a better choice for myself, a much more elegant choice. And I'm reminding you of this because right after that visit to the doctor, I went camping with my daughter and some friends of ours who have a young son, Conrad, who's almost six. He was running and playing with some other beautiful young kids in the forest, and they were having such a great time. Conrad was climbing up on a fallen tree that was over twice his height, and we were marveling at how he would just get up and try again and again if he didn't make it to the top the first time. He didn't give up. He didn't take no for an answer. He didn't say to himself, well, I guess I can't do that. I can't get to the top. He didn't stop until he got all the way up, and then he slid back down the side, and he did it all over again. There was no whining and complaining, and even when he fell pretty hard on his tiny little bottom when he was trying to get to the top, he didn't cry. We can learn an awful lot from kids. I was truly impressed, and I was also impressed with the parents who were watching the kids very carefully, but didn't stop them from pushing their limits. I even remarked that Conrad was truly brave, and that it was really a big tree he was trying to climb. And the mother, who is a chiropractor, proudly told me that he has no fear. A little later, the boy was running, and he fell, and he hurt himself and hurt his leg and had a bump the size of a small egg appear. He was okay until he saw the bump, and then when he saw that we saw it, he started to cry a little. And I said, let me tell you a story. I asked if he believed in magic, and he said yes. Several of his friends came running over, and one of the boys with him was five. His name was Ryan. I told him of the time that I was with you, Filippo, and a friend of ours, and I missed the last step of the stairs we were going down, and I appeared to have really hurt myself. And I fell very hard and landed on my knees, and I was really tired at this point in my life of falling down and hurting myself. I not only hurt my knees, but I scraped the palms of my hands. The woman we were with was really worried about me and said, oh, let me help you, let me help you. Poor Dorothy, let me help you. Let me help you. And I said, no, thank you. Nothing happened. And as I said this, she kept saying over and over, oh, let me help you. Filippo, help her. And you very quietly said, you made the last step. And our friend kept insisting, let me help you. And you and I quietly insisted that nothing happened. And I made the last step. And I got myself up, and I walked to the car, and I got inside, and I said, I'm just fine. And I held up my hands, and when the light came on in the car, my palms were no longer scraped. Well, Conrad listened, and he said, okay, but my leg still hurts, and there was still a bump. And I said, okay, but what kind of magic do you believe in? And he said, crystals. And he pulled one out of his pocket, and I said, well, let's put it on your leg and see what happens. And he said, no, I want to put it on my heart. And he did. And he closed his eyes, and in less than a minute, he said, I'm okay now. And he jumped up, and he said, thank you, and gave me a hug. And he made his choice right then and there as to what kind of magic he needed. And he and his friends ran off and continued to play, except for his friend Ryan. And he stayed behind, and he said to me, that was a good story, but I need proof. Show me. Fall down and hurt yourself, and then make it go away. And I told him that I choose to no longer hurt myself. And he said very seriously, that's a really good choice. And this made me laugh, and I asked Ryan, how old are you? And he answered with a twinkle in his eyes, I am 50,000 years old. I smiled at him and said, wow, having been around for that long, you must be very wise. could we have a conversation? And he seriously replied, I know nothing. And then he ran off to play with the others. Until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world, and you are the guru you've been waiting and looking for. You're the only one who can end your suffering, and you can only do this by beginning a love affair with you. Choose your magic, and let us choose to become very conscious co-creators by making the most elegant choices possible. And let us never forget that we are powerful beyond imagination, and that we are love, we are lovable, and we are loved.
Thank you, Dorothy, for that segment of Change Yourself, Change Your World. And with that, we come to a conclusion of another Life Changes with Filippo. I am happy to announce that next week's guest is Danielle Kirk of DK8 Wellness, another great story of personal transformation and how you too can transform yourself into wellness thanks to Danielle's methods, yet another tool. I am so happy that we've done this together and look forward to doing it more and more. Please thank our sponsors, Ion Ways, Water Systems, and Dorothy Donahue in Love and Miracles by going to our website and checking them out. And also want to remind you that you can find us on the web all over the place. I won't go into it. You've heard it before. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, thanking you for being part of the show. And along with our producers, Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark Lejeune, and our engineer, Seth Hendricks, we thank you for being part of the show and for being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.